everybody.
No, I was hitting yes for the record, John.
Oh, okay. I was like, so wait, we're recording.
Welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everybody. This is Darren Karp, and I am here, the love of my life, the reason for being, John Thrasher, Mama Bear, and...
Oh, I thought for sure you were going to say magic, but that's okay.
Oh, I meant magic. Did
you
I
meant
say you?
Magic. Yeah, you did.
I meant the cat.
Yeah.
Let okay, me just say...
Drink. Yeah, go ahead. Take your
time.
Well,
I was a little... Okay, guys, if you want to listen to John, really, John has one thing on me this week.
I finally got it.
He finally got something on me this week because I'm at my parents' house. So technology is limited. And he finally got me on something. Listen to our NMR, which came out this last week, to listen to him actually have one upping on me. But you know what? I still look good in my parents' weird lighting of the office, don't I, John? Look at me.
Well, let me tell you something. You only look good because I have edited you in some capacity in post-production, okay?
This face? This
oh,
right
that
here?
Beautiful face? Oh, yes. Interesting.
Well, good to see you, even in the dim lighting of my parents' house. But welcome to Shaken and Disturbed, everyone. And hi to everyone on Patreon. Hi to everyone on YouTube. This is why he made fun of me, because I know that we are on...
Yeah,
John, every time we talk about YouTube, we have to say smash that subscribe button, don't we?
Smash that bell. Smash that subscribe button.
Subscribe button. Yeah. And guys, listen, I'm kind of off of a high from last week with our Tim and Lance episode, right, Johnny boy?
Yeah, I think I said, I don't know if I said it on the show or if it was with you afterwards, but it's just really great to chat with other people that do what we do on a consistent basis, you know? Like,
I know.
True crime podcasting really is its own little world, like a small little world of people. And, you know, what you guys see, what the finished product is that you see on Patreon, YouTube, and if you're listening on the show, is a lot of behind the scenes work. So, you know, when we're chatting with them about how they go about their research and, you know, you had a great question that we featured in our Instagram Reels and on YouTube Shorts about, you know, what have you guys learned? And their response in that was even just interesting. So it's just cool just to be, you know, in cahoots with them. And obviously, as we said, we've known them forever at this point. So it's nice to just catch up.
Yeah, I feel like in a lot of ways in the true crime world, I feel like you and I like grew up, you know, around them in a lot of ways.
But truly,
what's really interesting to me is kind of just like us, like people who are just interested in true crime and devote a lot of their time, a lot of their energy, sometimes their money, you know, other things.
Yeah, definitely money.
for something that they're just purely passionate about and want to fix or want some sort of justice for. So I just love people like that in general. And obviously Tim and Lance, or Lynn and Tamps. I think I used to say that, didn't I?
Yeah,
Lynn
I think and you Tamps. Did actually. Yes.
I would switch it around, but they're just great guys and we've got a great case for you. But if you haven't listened to that episode, I kind of highly recommend it just because they're awesome.
And I'll just say, absolutely. And I'll just say also, go check out their show, Crawl Space. They have their missing show. I think Lance even was talking about Dark Valley, which seemed really cool. I haven't checked that out yet.
Yes, I really want to
support
see
them. Yeah, they're awesome creators. We love them. And thank you guys, if you're listening, for coming on our show. All right, Darren, you want to get into this week's episode? It's an intense one.
Yeah.
All right. You just lay back with your lighting and we'll see what happens.
I actually was going to go get another box, actually. Can you hold on 1 second?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Vamp?
Why don't you do
can
that?
You vamp? Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to vamp. I'll start the show a little bit here. Okay, guys. Well, while Darren is setting up her lighting situation and her audio situation, I'll go ahead and kick us off here. This episode starts on April 2nd, 2015. So not too long ago, just a few years. I'm watching Darren here in the side corner of my eye here. A local news station in Briarcliff Manor, New York, posted an article to their Facebook feed. And the headline read, "Post Found Dead." By the way, Darren, thank you for returning. I'm in the middle of the very first detail here. I just want to keep you posted.
I just want everyone to know that in the process, I have knocked over, I think, everything at my dad's office. So someone's found dead, but I'm about to be dead. And I just want to fully report that.
Your dad will not be happy. By the way, we are posting this as a video. And Darren, you couldn't see what Darren knocked over, but you did appear in a full body scenario in the background. So I don't even know what you're wearing. Hopefully it's appropriate for you.
Are we dispensing the fact that I have
What I was in the middle of reporting here, so I didn't even see what you were, wearing. Imagine you're like in a thong. Imagine you're just like walking around your parents' house in a thong and it's on YouTube now.
But it's of your face.
More, that's for Patreon.
But yeah, okay. Anyway.
Yeah. So like, anyway, so let's reset here. Briarcliff Manor, New York, they posted an article to their Facebook feed with a headline reading, "Host Found Dead, Controversial. Dirge for the Charlatans. Host Clay Tiffany Has Died."
Wow.
So
that's
an
interesting headline.
Yeah, and doesn't it sound like Facebook? Like, it sounds like somebody like didn't quite know how to explain something on Facebook.
That and one of my very good friends grew up in Briarcliff Manor. Oh. So I know Briarcliff Manor actually, I mean, decently well for someone who visited it a few times. What's always interesting with these headlines to me is like the way that they describe the person found dead. Sometimes it's college students, sometimes it's female. This is a job description.
Right.
Is that weird?
Yeah,
I guess it would
weird.
Be like scientist found dead, but it wouldn't be like accountant found dead, would it?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I guess not. Technically not. I mean, maybe if you're a host, we're going to get to all the details here.
We're going to get to. Sorry about that.
Public figure might be a separate type of thing, I'm assuming.
I guess.
Well, the article contained 41 comments on Facebook. Actually, this is from the article, so I can't say that's actually from Facebook. But there are 41 comments, presumably from locals, many of which ask some version of the question, quote unquote, who cares? Who was this guy?
Jesus.
And another large portion expressing the sentiment, quote, that's karma for you. This guy had it coming. No loss here, end quote.
Jesus. I mean, even if you felt this way, could you imagine writing this out?
Yeah,
I just can't imagine writing this, being like, you died, you know, you fucking deserved it. Like, whoa.
Yeah, people like you and I, and probably most of our listeners would agree, but, you know, Facebook is so full of trolls and the internet
The internet, the internet.
Especially 2015, you know, I feel like we weren't quite at a point where we were respecting kind of online bullying in the way that we've come to learn about it now. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Not that doesn't happen now, but I feel like we've shifted as a society a little more towards or a little more away from that. Anyway, however, there are a handful of comments peppered within that speak well of the deceased, saying, quote, he exposed some real truths and suffered for it. Ooh, now we're getting into some tea.
Now we're, John, you have to do the,
Oh, yeah. What am I thinking?
There we go.
Yeah. By the way, do we have any?
And here are Zooey's notes.
Zooey's notes while you're home with Zooey. Might need to pull in for a live report later today.
Well, we might have to. Might have to go on the front lines.
By the way, what you guys don't know, she's listening in right now. She's the third person on the Zoom. Yeah.
She's literally right here. You can't see her.
I
tripped over her in my dad's office.
I was going to say, imagine you tripped over and you just see her like sitting there in the corner with a notebook in her hand, like ready to take notes.
Diligently writing, but she can't hear what you're saying. She's only critiquing
me. Yeah, that tracks in some way.
Yeah, that tracks.
Anyway. All right. So anyway, Clay Tiffany was born in 1945 and grew up in upstate New York, about an hour north of Manhattan. As Darren said, she's familiar with it, being from the area. He attended Briarcliff Manor High School, where at over 6 feet tall, the young man with the thick, curly orange hair was known as a basketball legend. I have to tell you something.
True for you?
No. But partially because my nephew, who's 18, is a big basketball player.
Yeah.
I've really gotten more into basketball the last couple of months.
March Madness, baby.
I know March Madness is happening. I work at a university, so that's been an exciting CMU, Carnegie Mellon, where I work, was in the Division III NCAA tournament for the first time in years. So that was exciting.
That's
Duquesne,
cool.
Yeah. And Duquesne, which is another school here in Pittsburgh where I live, was in the Division I NCAA tournament. I think they lost in like the second round, unfortunately, but that was like a big deal. But anyway, the point is I find myself stopping and watching basketball clips when they pop up on my TikTok. And the other day I was kind of watching, and I realized I was watching a live feed. I didn't even realize I was watching a live feed. And I was like, oh, I like this. I'm kind of into, so I think I might be like really like kind of masculine and straight and I love basketball.
Well, my next question was going to be, are you in it for the basketball or are you in it for
the
players?
Guys. Yeah, partially the guys.
That's okay.
No, that's not true because guess what? I love Caitlin Clark, the all-time leading scorer. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
from Iowa.
At me dropping basketball.
Look at you with facts.
Look at me.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, with facts. So more to come on my basketball journey, but nonetheless, this guy, Clay Tiffany, was known as a legend there. So a trophy actually still sits in the school's case commemorating Clay's achievements of having scored over 1,000 points.
Wow.
During his time on the team. I probably have only scored maybe 5 points my whole life. So that's
really
move
the
impressive.
Decimal point over 3, and that's yeah. What John's hit.
Yeah, maybe not even that. So he was described as like a striking teenager and a bit of like this kind of oddball type. One former classmate remembers driving home at around 2 a.m. and seeing Clay out for a jog. But as years went on, imagine, yeah, jogging at 2 a.m.
No,
I mean, people do it, but you shouldn't.
I don't want to jog at 2 p.m.
exactly. Or any other time of the day. But I will say, you know, people have different routines that's not always like the craziest thing, 2 a.m. But I will say also, having done this show, having done true crime, blah, yada, 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 never a good, your
nothing good
risk
happens
of
at 2
being murdered increases significantly after about 9 p.m.
Nothing good happens then. Right.
But anyway, as the years went on, this lanky redhead would grow into an even more memorable member of the Briarcliff community.
Right. Well, after his graduation from Colgate University, which was in I went to like a kind of a, it's not really a sister school, but it's similar to Colgate. It was kind of in the same, I went to Lafayette. After his graduation from Colgate University with a BA in English, Clay was known throughout his town as a gadfly, which is kind.
That's me cheering for the BA in English. Shout out to my BA in English.
Oh, I literally
girlies.
Thought you were cheering for gadflies. And I was like, is that a mascot on a basketball team?
Gadfly sounds, I don't want to. Yeah, well, I don't know what that is.
It's a dated term for someone who annoys people into action by being loudly critical.
Oh, lots of those. Lots of those.
It's like me
days.
With you. I am your gadfly.
You are the gadfly to me on the show.
Well, this can be as kind of minor as a neighbor who complains often and loudly to other members of the neighborhood about an ugly tree in the yard next door until its owner finally gives in and kind of chops it down. So it's like pressure by society in a way, you know, pressure by nagging.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to keep derailing us, but do you happen to remember the episode of Golden Girls where the neighbor wants the tree taken down?
I think
you would so the neighbor wants the tree taken down. They go to court or they go to a town hall about it, right? And everyone's arguing. And I think it's Rose is in the argument.
Of course it's Rose.
Is in an argument with this woman. Or maybe it was Blanche, one of them, I forget. And she was like, well, I just hope you drop dead. And then she dies on the show, like right there and then. And they go to her funeral. It turns out that she didn't have anybody in her life. And then it turns out they're at the wrong funeral. I mean, it is literally the funniest episode of television I think ever written. Every single, you know, I have a respect for it now as a producer and as a television person, whatever, blah, 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 where it's like every word and every scene is hilarious and is adding to the hilarity. And, you know,
totally.
Seinfeld does this, I would say.
I feel the same way about Seinfeld, except there's not a joke in the show.
Yeah, exactly.
It just takes
every
everything so seriously.
Yeah.
Right. And how they deliver
the
it.
So
but
anyway,
I guess
we're
watch
talking about
that.
Gadflies. If you're ever watching, I'm just going to one last plug here, Golden Girls on like the Hallmark Channel or whatever it's airing on nowadays, that episode is always in rotation. So stop and watch it if you ever do. It is so funny. Darren, continue, and I promise I won't talk about Golden Girls for the rest of the year. I get one moment a year to talk about.
I explained what a small gadfly was, which is hence the Golden Girls episode. But but it also can be as large as a community member who calls their public officials, attends town hall meetings, which my very good friend just started doing in her hometown. Crazy. Oh, I know it's great. I think it's good. But
no, it is. Absolutely.
Writes articles and speak publicly about an unfair law until the legislature is changed. Truly, to me, that's the only way change ever happens. So to some extent, I mean, gadflies can be good. It's not necessarily bad.
True.
It's just, you know, as long as you're not forcing someone. Clay became an English teacher and a coach for the local girls track and field team. And around the beginning of the 90s, when Clay was in his 40s, those close to him began noticing a change in his personality. Mm-hmm. Clay had begun taking an interest in local government and wanted to make sure those around him knew his viewpoints. This is like every family member at the dinner table. An acquaintance of his was quoted by a local newspaper stating, quote, "I did notice that some kind of change came over Clay. in the early 1990s. He seems to have become agitated and almost glowed with indignation over problems involving race, politics, gosh, you name it. I tried to recall the guy I knew, but it became difficult, end quote.
Listen, welcome to the world. You know, you get to a certain age and I feel like people start to notice the world around them in a different way. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, I get that. It's just, that's just, you know, when you see something so clearly so stark in somebody, that raises a little bit of a red flag. Now, another friend was a little bit more bold, commenting, quote, Clay was filled with hurt and anger and he cast it upon others, particularly those in positions of authority. And a third acquaintance bluntly told the publication, quote, Clay was probably suffering from acute mental illness. I believe that he had been able to get the condition, whatever it was, under control. He could have made a contribution to life in the village. Now, whatever the cause, end quote, whatever the cause of his personality shift, one thing was certain. Around the early 1990s, Clay began to get loud about issues he perceived in his community.
Yeah, and I think it's important to just mention here, too, that these are people that are, have just simply interacted with him. It's hard to say. I mean, you know, everyone has a bad day. It's hard to tell what's an actual mental illness and what's not. But, okay, they're, you know, people are clocking it for whatever they think it is at this point.
Right.
So wearing that gadfly title with pride, Clay began acting as a local journalist, dedicating his career to spotlighting rules and regulations within his community that he deemed unfair or flat out illegal. Maybe like kind of like, you know, the Karen vibe, but like maybe not quite that. Maybe it's like a step above a Karen situation. But anyway,
it depends on how much like in people's faces he was, yeah, and not necessarily true. People of power. But like if we met him, would be like, you got to do this. You know, like it depends, right. I think, a little bit.
No, I agree.
But yeah.
Well, from the late 90s through 2010, Clay hosted a public access television show.
Oh, Lord.
Called Dirge for the Charlatans, which ran roughly 200 episodes. By the way, where's my public access television show? Okay, I sit in front of this microphone and this computer every single week. I'd rather be on public access. Okay?
I mean, Dirge for the Charlatans. I mean, this was what was in the headline, you know, when they found him dead. So clearly this dirge was maybe worth it.
That's right. Well, this program featured Clay's unfiltered rants about the Board of Education, the local police, and various other village organizations, not unlike this show. Darren,
do you think LA would give me public access to just complain about the people in my gym?
Yeah. Oh, 100% they would.
They would. Who wouldn't listen to that? Because it's absurd and ridiculous. Anyway, listen to our NMRs to hear me complain about the gym.
But also, I think you should pitch this to the local LA, local news station.
Call
just get
with
a
your
segment
complaints.
On the news. Yeah.
This is a show where we're just blunt about the shit we hate.
Yeah. By the way, I could actually, I'm not kidding when I say this, I could see you doing this on like KTLA or something every night at 5.
Right, just say get it out, complain to me, and we'll just be like, oh, I know that sucks, right? It's going to be called Shit We Hate.
Shit We Hate, there we go.
Maybe
it's a spinoff thing for the podcast. We'll have to work on that. But anyway.
Yeah, we will.
Anyway, though Dirge and the Charlatans was an extremely controversial program among members of the Briarcliff community, as you can imagine, by the way.
A little bit.
Especially late 90s through 2010. You know, this wasn't the age of Instagram and Snapchat and all this other stuff yet.
But it was getting online, you know?
Yeah, but people were still getting their, you know, local news on TV. So this is fascinating. Many agreed that the purpose of a public access station is to give voice to anyone wishing to be heard, including Darren. Now,
yes, especially me, more me than other people.
There you go.
Yeah.
The manager of the station is quoted as saying, quote, public access is about First Amendment rights. He certainly exercised those. He was very forceful. He used his freedom of speech to the fullest extent.
Okay.
That. So let's see exactly where this goes, though. So as part of his ongoing journalistic ventures, Clay often carried around video and audio recorders. I mean, this is us.
Oh, Lord.
In order to capture perceived injustices on the spot. Absolutely. True crime Karen, if you will. Although Clay operated alone, he would have preferred backup and made a habit of trying to bully other journalists into demonstrating their passions for truth, justice, and righteousness as aggressively as he did himself. You know, to your point, Darren, you know, you're not, it's all this is fine and good unless you're forcing it onto other people or forcing other people to do or say things, and that's not going to work out.
Yeah, right.
And he was
I don't like manipulation or anything like that.
Right. he was known for constantly harassing other journalists to back him up, sometimes showing up to their homes, inappropriate, unannounced, to try and convince them into his own way of thinking. He also made a point of publicly harassing town council members into seeing things his way. And on two separate occasions, he heckled a local DA during public speaking events. Thomas Ferguson, who served as Briarcliff's village manager for 2 years, told journalists that Clay's antics were a determining factor when he decided to resign his post. So regardless of what you're hearing here, he was impactful enough to the community that they were like, all right, I think I'm done being in the spotlight with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think impactful is the, you know, a nice word for it. Obviously, I think he annoyed them to death. I think, right. You know, it depends what this is for. I mean, I do think, yeah, freedom of speech. So I'm kind of all for that, including I think especially for speech we don't like. I mean, it's easy to have freedom of speech, yeah, for things we do like. But publicly harassing town council members, I don't know if this is the best way to go about having people listen to you. There is sort of a system, as frustrating as it is. So this, yeah, just kind of sounds like he can't deal with problems, but I'm going to continue on here.
Yeah,
I was going
to say, well, before you get to that, though, yeah, you can kind of see the picture that's getting painted here, right? This guy's running around town, showing up to people's houses.
He seems unreasonable a little bit. Right.
He's,
yes,
ruffling feathers in a small community, and that's never
super intrusive. Now, in his resignation announcement, Thomas intentionally declined to publicly announce his next job because he didn't want to make it too easy for Clay to find him.
Right.
Sounds like a bitter something.
I mean, I wouldn't want that either. I don't want anyone,
no,
you know, chasing me down.
This is why people need to be careful on, you know, yeah, whatever. Now, the Board of Education was a huge sticking point for Clay, who ran for a seat on the board at least 7 different times. Clay never won an election, although 1 year he did manage to accumulate a total of 39 votes out of 498, which is not nothing. Now, he also applied for several jobs with the town's public works department and accused them of discrimination against him when he was repeatedly turned down. It's hard to say if that's discrimination or not. You know, I can't tell if you're just trying to find an excuse for why you're not the right candidate, and or sometimes it is discrimination, but it's like hard to say at any given, yeah, moment what it is.
Well, especially when you have this reputation in this what seems to be a small town. What do you expect,
right,
you know?
Now, the local police force was another prime target for Clay, who believed himself a witness of a great deal of police brutality and discrimination in his community, comprised of predominantly affluent white people. In March of 1997, Clay reportedly experienced this brutality firsthand when he was pulled over by Nick Tartaglione, which sounds like a pasta, an officer with the Briarcliff Police. Now, by 1997, Clay was a known entity throughout Briarcliff, and when Nick pulled him over, he seemed to immediately know exactly who Clay was, which is either a good thing or a bad thing,
or a
depending
very bad
on.
Thing. Yes, yes.
Now, according to Clay, during the traffic stop, Officer Nick walked up to the car, commenting something to the effect of, quote, "I heard you like the Moulinians," which is an offensive word used by Italian people to describe black people, and stating, quote, "I'm connected with the mob. I can have you taken care of anytime I want. I know this because I'm rewatching The Sopranos right now with Nadine." So this is,
and I was wondering, do they, and they say this in the show? That's how you've.
Yes, they say, wow. Yes, that's how I know how to pronounce it. Now, and it's also in like Fargo season 4, Chris Rock season. I'm rewatching that as well. So, or I'm watching that. So maybe it's just in my head. But Clay reportedly felt threatened and got out of his car to stand a few feet away, planning to flag down the next car that drove by in the hopes that additional witnesses could cause the officer to back off. This seems like weird that he would flag down the next car, like with the guy right there pulling him over. Just like that doesn't seem like it would be possible.
What is the interference, though? You know, it's like, are you interfering with a potential arrest? That gets tricky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like putting another person, I don't know, in potential danger. Yeah, now, a car did slow down and Clay approached, planning to give the driver the phone number of a friend he wanted to call for help.
Yeah, this is escalating. This is getting intense. Darren, before we go on, though, we just want to do a quick little plug here for Patreon. That's right, you guys. We've got
Speaking of things that go on.
Oh, nice.
We'll workshop it.
We'll keep working on that one.
Yes.
We want to just quickly plug our new Patreon. We have brand new perks for you guys. We're getting ready. I know we've been saying this for a minute, but we are getting ready to launch our live recordings stream, which are really exciting. They're called VIP live recordings. If you're a Sussy Radish or any tier has amazing perks, but Sussy Radish is the best bang for your buck. You have all kinds of stuff. And of course, those VIP live recordings are where you can join us every week for our recording and interact with the show in real time, like right now while we're talking. We'll do polls, we'll do conversations, we'll give
we'll
you
do a strip teases. There's a lot going on.
Darren will be in the background in a thong.
Be doing it.
Yeah.
Magic will be with me. It's going to be a whole new thing.
Magic will also be in a thong. You can't miss it.
Now that I would pay good money for.
I know, right?
Sign up now and get 3 years of bonus content.
Thanks
sign
so
up
much.
For as little as $5 a month or cheaper if you sign up annually.
That's right. And if you're a sussy radish on Patreon, you get the audio and video versions, which you can see right now, several days in advance. A lot of early access stuff. That's right. Among many other things. So you can check it out. Patreon.com/shaken and disturbed, all one word. Or just check the link in our show notes on whatever podcast.
John makes it easy.
To.
He makes it so easy for you guys.
At this point, you know, it's like if you don't know where to look, you haven't been listening. You know what
that's
I mean?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, is Clay, but new listeners, you know, welcome. All right, let's get back into it. Now, as Clay approached the second car, Officer Nick grabbed him, slammed his body into the police car, and forced handcuffs onto his wrists. Clay eventually extricated himself from police custody, shaken, maybe disturbed.
And disturbed.
But unscathed and just royally pissed off. Now, Clay began focusing his investigative journalism on Nick, and it wasn't long before he unearthed a lot of newsworthy moments in the officer's career. Apparently, Nick had a track record of beating up people while working as an officer in nearby jurisdictions. His transfers to other departments all seem to just coincide with the incidents of violence, although none of the reasons for transfer cited misconduct on Nick's part. This reminds me a lot of, like, Catholic Church weird shit sometimes that goes on.
Cover-up type of stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Spotlight stuff. Right. Now, as Clay discovered blemishes on Nick's record, he began reporting the incidents on his public access channel. Of course, this didn't go unnoticed by Officer Nick. And from 1997 to 2000, Officer Nick assaulted Clay on three separate occasions, each more violent than the last. Nick's second attack involved him approaching Clay while he was out swimming in the Hudson River alone, beating him while complaining about the information he was disseminating on his public access show. Now, Nick's final attack was by far the most brutal. He kicked and punched Clay, even spraying him with mace while screaming, quote, "You can't tell lies about me in your television show," end quote. Although he's literally doing the thing that Clay is saying that he's doing, but
right.
Digress. This encounter, unfortunately, left Clay with broken ribs and a fractured eye socket.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I said yikes earlier, but at the same time, it's like if all of this stuff is true and accurate, he's within his journalistic rights to share that information. You know, that is,
I agree,
it is a First Amendment situation there. Well, the town responded to the vicious attack by firing Officer Nick from the police force, although the reason they cited for his termination was unrelated to the beating, actually, while the FBI began a formal investigation into his career. Clay responded by starting a civil suit against both the town of Briarcliff and Officer Nick himself. Nick offered to settle the suit, actually, and pay $200,000 in damages. So
wow,
that's significant. Clay wrote a letter to the defense team demanding to know where the money for the settlement was even coming from. He wanted to make sure it was coming from Nick himself and not the village, which I think is smart, you know, especially if there's taxes involved. You don't want the taxpayer to be paying some sort of settlement in this regard. It was a fair assumption, you know, after all, the police force had severed ties with Nick after the attack, and the beatings had not been permitted within the scope of his employment as an officer, right? However, the village later revealed that their insurance company had covered the settlement while Nick himself had not had to pay anything. I mean,
wow.
We'll get to more of this in a second, but I mean, from a legal perspective, I guess that somewhat makes sense. Although, I don't know. Let's get to more of the details and we'll decide.
I mean, the fact that he didn't have to pay anything. I don't know. It just seems a little sussy.
Yeah, it is. Oh, for sure. This is sus of the year occurring right now. Well, in 2003, Nick's dismissal from the police force was reversed after he filed his own lawsuit against the police department. He even received $300,000 in back pay for the time that he'd been unemployed.
Jeez, man.
That's a lot of money. Like,
you might, you're encouraged to
much?
Do this. Well, I mean, in back pay.
In back pay,
you
for,
know,
I guess it's been, yeah,
for
years.
A lot of years. I mean, you know.
Right.
Jeez.
Well, in 2008, Nick retired on disability and received an annual pension for roughly $65,000.
Thanks, taxpayers.
Yeah. He took the money and moved north, deeper into upstate New York. And on March 26, 2015, neighbors called the police to do a welfare check on Clay's home.
No.
Nobody had seen or heard from him in a few weeks, which, by the way, would be very sus. This guy's everywhere. This guy's on TV. He's showing up to people's houses. So if you're suddenly not hearing about him, it's a problem. Well, tragically, exactly. Clay's deceased body was found inside his home. He was 69 or 70. Nobody seems to really know for sure. And his cause of death was ruled as natural causes.
Hmm.
He had been dead for roughly 2 weeks by the time his body was discovered, and he had no known relatives whatsoever. Hmm. And as far as the town was concerned, Clay had died an abject failure, frankly. This is their words, technically.
Jesus. Well, in 2016, I mean, just 8 years ago, just a few days before Christmas, Officer Nick was taken into custody and the charges against him were incredibly serious. Mm-hmm. Law enforcement had been keeping track of Nick and believed that sometime around June of 2015, just after Clay's death, Nick had gotten involved in a cocaine ring. In April, so when he was saying he was in the mob, maybe
there's
he was connected to it. Not that you have to be in the mob, but it just... connections. Mm-hmm. Now, on April 11, 2016, Nick met up with four other men, Martin Luna, Martin's nephews, Miguel Luna, and Urbano Santiago, and family friend Hector Gutierrez. The five met up in the Liquid Lounge, a bar run by Nick's brother in Chester, New York. Nick suspected that Martin Luna had stolen money from him. Mm. Then Martin and his three companions arrived at a lounge sometime between 2:30 and 3 in the afternoon, and around 5 p.m., one of them made a phone call to his cousin. That was the last time anyone heard from them. Nick somehow managed to overpower Martin, tortured him, and forced one of his nephews to watch as he strangled Martin with a zip tie. Mm. Nick was enjoined by two of his own associates who took the three remaining men into the woods and executed them.
Wow. By the way, does this sound like Sopranos? I don't watch it, but it's sounding like it.
It does. It really I mean, there's no love in mafia world. Yeah.
Well, on the day of his arrest, their bodies were found buried on the sprawling 178 acres of land that Nick rented and lived on. Officers needed to use a backhoe to search for and excavate the bodies. Neighbors were grateful as they had been complaining of an awful smell coming from the property for months. Ugh, I hate that. Nick was arrested and charged with four murders, kidnapping, and conspiracy to distribute at least 5 kilos of cocaine.
Wow.
Nick's pretrial legal battle lasted 7 years, during which time he spent a short stint as Jeffrey Epstein's cellmate.
Wow.
That's shocking. Epstein himself even accused Nick of becoming physically violent and attacking him shortly before his own alleged suicide. Remember, Epstein, for those who don't recall, was charged for all the sex trafficking things and then was allegedly killed himself in jail. Interesting that this particular person was connected to him.
Well, Nick was finally tried in April of 2023, about a year ago. Less a jury found him guilty on all charges against him. Nick's sentencing was due to happen in October of last year, but seems to still be pending. He currently faces life in prison for his crimes, although what his actual sentence will be still remains to be seen. Although Clay passed away long before the world became aware of exactly how corrupt and morally bankrupt Nick turned out to be, it's nice to think that if human consciousness exists after our bodies cease to exist, Clay is floating around out there somewhere going, "I told you so."
Truly.
If any listeners would like to check out Clay's work, some episodes of Dirge for the Charlatans still exists on YouTube.
And we'll link to one or two of those in our show notes if that's of interest for any of you guys. And if you're watching this on YouTube, we have the links in the description below.
Yeah, I mean, this was kind of a nice, ironic, you know, for a guy who spoke up a lot about something, obviously, to be silenced, you know, just for, you know, then the other guy to be caught because there was a smell in his backyard. It just like, you know.
Well, and also, you know, it makes you wonder, too, who decided that he died of natural causes? Was that truly the situation there? Was there another
police
connection?
What's
the autopsy report? Exactly. So I feel like there are a lot of unanswered questions there about Clay, which is really unfortunate.
I agree. Obviously, let us know what you guys think. At Jay Thrasher, at Carpe Darren, and Shark Shaken and Disturbed podcast fans on Facebook and also on our Patreon. And of course, YouTube comments.
Please
feel free and welcome. Let's get into some listener shout outs. Johnny Boy, why don't you take the first
Yeah, shout out to Felicia in our Facebook group who just had to tag me in the latest Bailey's product, which appears to be mint chocolate chip. It was for St. Patrick's Day, so I think I may have missed the original like batch, but I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I got to hunt this down, but you guys, you know, on Instagram, at least once every couple months, someone is like tagging me in comments on Instagram and TikTok being like, have you tried this? Or are you going to buy this? So I haven't had Bailey's in a while. I know I talked about it a lot in the past, but I'm overdue.
Well, maybe it's time to get lucky, John.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, I like the way you put that.
Ooh.
Our longtime friend and listener of the show, Philip, posted on Facebook, Snooking a Schnookus is giving Plumbus vibes. Now, Plumbus, I don't even know what it is, but it's a great name. And included a pic of it from what seems to be Rick and Morty. We have no idea why Philip would draw this connection, but maybe some of you listening would. Philip, let us know. I could look it up, please. But I would much rather have somebody actually explain this to me. But all I can say is a Schnookus and a Plumbus are the same thing.
It's giving the same phonetic sounds.
It's just the same thing.
Yeah. It's something like that.
It's something like that.
Philip, do please let us know. I have to give a bonus shout out. Usually we only do one or two. I got to give a shout out to my boy, Jeff. I wanted to congratulate him. He got a new job recently.
Good job, Jeff.
It's a job he really wanted. Now, this is, of course, Jeff from Jeff and Carla, Darren, my friends who own Mittens and Smokey. So some of my closest friends, Jeff, congratulations. I wanted to give you an extra special shout out on today's episode.
Congratulations. Yay.
Darren and you guys, not Darren, but everybody else, go smash our YouTube. Wait a minute. What? We just launched our YouTube channel. If you haven't heard us talk about it a million other times today.
This is me smashing.
Yeah, Darren's smashing right now. If you're watching this on YouTube or Patreon, we hope that you'll join us. We really do.
We have full episodes. We're posting YouTube shorts, which are clips from the show. We're working on some fun videos that maybe not what you guys are kind of expecting. And it's a good time for everyone.
That's right. And if you're watching right now on YouTube, hi. Also, please like the video and share it on social media. Tag us or use hashtag Shaken and Disturbed. It's youtube.com/@ShakenAndDisturbed. You got to use that little at sign in there for it to work. Or just search for it or click the link in this week's show notes.
That's right.
It was a good episode. By the way, guys, go listen to our NMR episodes. There's lots of things going on in the background that you might not know about on these regular Sunday episodes. And that's all I'm going to say, Darren. I'm signing off. And I just want to mention, you know, don't forget to chook your mushrooms, which is something I think is really important.
And I don't forget to schnook your schnookus and smash us now.
See you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.